Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, we're glad you're here. And it's always a pleasure. As you know, I'm on the road. I'm in Disneyland. Disney World, actually. That's two different states, isn't it? Yeah. Two different coasts. I'm in Disney World, which is in hard by to Orlando, Florida, over here visiting with Mickey and his friends, getting ready to help the SBA celebrate Small Business Week. And somebody who also is with us right now, who does his share of celebrating on behalf of small business, is our good friend Russell Brown. He's the president of Business Book Press, and he's our business buying and selling expert. Russell Brown, welcome back to the show.
Oh, welcome back. Thank you. Appreciate being here. And I'm surprised I didn't know you were down in Disney World today.
Yeah, we're down here with helping the SBA get their Small Business Week kicked off, celebrating free enterprise on behalf of small business. 2,000 or 3,000 small business owners are going to be here this week, whooping it up for small business, and we got a lot of different things going on down here, and so that's why I'm down here. Russell, as the audience, many of the audience knows, you and I have been conducting a series of interviews on the due diligence process of buying and selling a business, but primarily focusing on some of the main things to look for, some of the key areas to look for, and I think we've been working on finding some of the skeletons in the closets, haven't we?
Right. Yeah. I refer to those kinds of things as, you know, they're not necessarily deal killers, but there are those little warts and wrinkles that exist in some number in almost any business. But before you buy the business or before you put it out for sale, you ought to know what those are. You ought to think about them. If you're a seller, you should have, you know, some answer for the buyer if they ask questions about that issue. Or if you're the buyer, you should be alert to these kinds of things and be sure to ask the seller about them and why these are problems with the business.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I like to think about, Russ, in buying a business or really just about a lot of different things, there are individual deal killers, there are individual, you know, no-go type of things that are significant enough all by themselves that if you get one of these, you know, that's the deal's over. But there are also the smaller ones that all by themselves wouldn't be a deal killer, but every time you turn around, if one of those keeps popping up, and all of a sudden you've got a sack full of those little irritating ones, well, that's when you sort of, you know, they sort of gain a little critical mass as a group rather than individually, and maybe that's what you're looking for. Maybe there's no single big deal that kills it, but they just keep these other small ones keep popping up, and that's what you need to do is really kind of start accumulating those, don't you?
Right, and that's almost always how the deal breaks up. It's a collection of small items that appear out of nowhere over time. I'm a great believer in full disclosure. If you've got some difficulty, there's some issues. Almost every business has issues. Put them, if you're the owner, put them out on the table right away. Tell the buyer right away. Here's a few problems we have in the business, and then offer up what you think the reasons are for, and how you're successfully able to operate the business around it and still be profitable. And if you do that, then they don't become surprises, and they don't look like they're hidden defects or
well, here's
hidden
the thing,
problems.
And I agree with you, except I think the full disclosure ought to be about fundamental things that any good purchaser would find anyway. But there may be some things that you that irritate you or that you think needs to be fixed that might not be such a big deal for the other people. Right. And so I do think, I mean, I agree with you about the full disclosure. Just the thing is, though, is you know, you might say, well, I think we need to paint these walls. That's one of the things that's probably wrong with our company. And they might, and for all you know, they might like that color.
Right.
So you have to be careful, I think, not to, you know, to identify the fundamental things, which is what we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about some of those. In fact, we've got a list of things here going down the alphabet of some things to be looking for when you're buying a business. These are things that when they accumulate, they become deal killers. And so we're going to talk about that right after these messages with our good friend Russell Brown. It is 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the...
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, Russell Brown is our guest, and he's got a website too. Russell, give it to us, please.
Businessbookpress.com. Just take the three words.
And they can find out more about your books. Give us the title of your two main books.
Well, we've got three. We've got the Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. That's a bestseller. That sold extremely well, especially through my website and on Amazon and in the bookstores. And the other book is Preparing Your Business for Sale. And the third item, which I refer to as a book because I authored the manual with it as well as the software, and that's the BizPricer Business Valuation Software.
And that's actually a computer program that you've developed to help people evaluate the business they might want to buy.
That's exactly right. Or help a business owner determine the value of their business.
Remember this, folks.
Business owners are out there sitting there with don't know, have any idea what the value of their business is.
Everything that Russell and I talk about has three purposes. One is to help a buyer buy a business. The other is to help a seller get their business ready for sale. And three, everything that we talk about when Russell is on the show is important to operate your business, even if you're not thinking about selling it. So really, you get a three for when Russell's on the show, you get three for one. Russell, let's move over to our list of skeletons that we need to be looking at. You've broken them down into alphabetical order. I think we're on the B's right now, aren't we?
Yeah, we just got to B. The first one was the problem with accounts receivable, and we talked about that last time. Under B, we kind of listed bad publicity or bad reports from Better Business Bureau or from the Chamber of Commerce or from any other place that might collect that kind of information. So if something exists out there along those lines, it's probably, as a buyer, you want to seek that information out. And as a seller, you may want to have an answer ready for a buyer if you get questions.
How do we find this information? But you can call the Better Business Bureau and get a report.
Right.
Just ask around the community.
Well, you know, it depends on your connections with the Chamber of Commerce. You know, if you're buying a business, you ought to pay a visit to the Chamber of Commerce, and just get a feel for Joe's Appliances, which you may be considering buying, and just ask around, does anybody know about Joe's Appliance? Is he a member of the Chamber of Commerce? And if so, what's the reputation of Joe and his business, et cetera? Now, you may come up empty. He may not be a member of the Chamber of Commerce. No one may know him. But it's worth a call there or a stop by, and they'll be very accommodating with you because... Whether or not Joe's a member or not, they're going to want, and you buy the business, they're going to want you to be a member, so they'll certainly treat you correctly.
Well, this gets a little dicey, though, Russell, is if everybody's trying to keep this confidential, it takes a little bit of finesse. doesn't it, to get this information without tipping your hand?
Well, exactly true. And most of the times I advise a business seller to have the buyer sign a confidentiality agreement in which not only do they agree not to disclose any of the financial information, but they also agree not to disclose the fact that they're even considering buying the business to anyone other than, say, their accountant and attorney. So you put your finger on a very good point. In some cases where that's the fact and it's not an obvious, there is that privacy issue, then you have to just kind of introduce yourself to the Chamber of Commerce and sort of be more of a detective and try to get information about several businesses in that field. And you could even say you're considering opening a new business and, you know, there's certain competition, and you could rattle off several, including Joe's Restaurant, and ask, you know, how do they feel another one would work in the community and so on.
You have to be artful in your probing, don't you?
Right. That's exactly right. And thank you for pointing that out, because that is a key. It's a key concern. You know, it's a famous joke among business brokers is that most sellers come to them and they talk about, you've got to find a buyer for my business. You know, I want to retire. I want it done within 6 months. You know, I want $5 million for the business, and I want this, I want that, I want that. And then, oh, by the way, don't tell anybody it's for sale. You want to keep it a secret. You see, so how do you, the dilemma is, how do you sell something that you can't tell anyone it's for sale? And the answer, by the way, to that, and we're digressing a little bit, but the answer to that question, there is an answer, and that is a lot of good business brokers actually have a supply of buyers who have already signed non-disclosure agreements and have already filed their financial status with the broker so that the broker knows of that they are legitimately able to afford particular size businesses, and they can just offer the situation in a way to these to buyers without having to advertise or in any way expose publicly the fact that that business is for sale.
Absolutely. Well, that is one of the advantages of working with a broker, is because hopefully they will have done some pre-qualifying that will prevent some of these things from happening. But one of the things I'd like to point out as we go to the break, Russell, is, folks, if you sign a confidentiality agreement, you need to take that seriously. It's not just a casual document. It's a serious document. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with Russell Brown. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate, Russell Brown, is our guest. And don't forget to check out his website, folks. And Russell, give it to us again, please.
Businessbookpress.com.
And that's, you can find his books there. You can find his BizPricer and lots of other things. He's got some good stuff there that you can use. You got some free stuff, too, don't you, Russ?
I got lots of free stuff, lots of free articles. I believe that, hey, if I can answer an easy question for you without you having to pay for it, come on over and check out what we've got for information. And a lot of times we can answer.
We appreciate that. Russ, let's move on down and talk about the C's. What are some of the C's skeletons that we need to look for?
Credit problems. Credit problems with banks or credit problems with suppliers. Now, you know, these may not be things that will carry over with you. It could be that the business is undercapitalized, or which means that maybe the owner is taking too much money out of the business,
or not making enough
money,
or
has a debt structure that is killing him. You know, that's a bad structure, and he hasn't been able to refinance to get his interest costs down. And so he may have built up some problems with his suppliers.
Don't you think it's one of the biggest mistakes that an uninitiated buyer will make is assuming that they can just pick up right up with their vendors where the seller left off and assume that they're going to get the same credit terms Let's say the credit terms are good. The seller has good credit terms with their vendors, but that a buyer doesn't need to presume that that's going to be their terms.
That's right. It's a whole new deal. Once they take over the business, most suppliers and vendors, banks, whoever the company is involved with in those respects, are going to look at this as an opportunity to negotiate a new deal. And if it favors them, if they've already got a favorable situation, they may continue just the way it is. But what you need to know is does the company are they having a bad credit with a supplier? For example, some companies you find out that when the supplier delivers the product, they have to be paid right then. There's no
COD,
no 30-day payables or 60-day or anything like that. This business is on a list that says, hey, this business has to pay for its deliveries in cash or certainly in check immediately.
And that completely changes the initial capitalization of a business that you're about to buy. I mean,
yes,
whatever it costs you for 1 to 2 months of funding the receivable, not the receivable, the payables, what ought to be payables, whatever that is, you've got to add that 1 or 2 months, probably more like 2 months, of initial working capital, don't you, Russell?
Yes, you do. So that's certainly an implication there. That's a planning thing that you've got to know about for planning purposes and buying the business. But it's also a little bit of a red flag. You might want to ask the question. You might want to delve into and get the answer from the owner. Why? Why is this like this? Why don't you get a normal 30-day, payable on this from this supplier? And it could be lots of good reasons for it.
Right. I mean, and it could be reasons that wouldn't affect you.
Exactly.
If the company's making enough money and the owner's taking too much out, then you can fix that. But if the company's doesn't have enough revenue, is not profitable enough, then what are you going to do differently that's going to give you a different situation?
Right. So it's not a deal killer necessarily, but it could. It's certainly something you really want to look at closer. And if I was a seller trying to put my business on the market, if I've got any of these kind of situations where it's not going to look too good when the buyer comes in, I would work on, in that time leading up to when I put my business on the market, as I talk about in the book, Preparing Your Business for Sale, start repairing those things. Get those things fixed, so that you've got, so your business operates more like the norm. It may be a problem you had 5 years ago with this particular supplier, and you had a tough patch there where you got late on your payments, and so they put you on a cash-only basis. And then time went on, things got better, and you just kind of said, oh, it's just as easy to keep it the way it is, and you never fixed that. So that could be something easily fixed.
The main thing is, folks, is you just got to know these things, and we're gonna teach these things. We're gonna continue to talk about these things as Russell Brown agrees to join us again and to continue our series. Russell, we got to wrap it up, but thank you for being here today. As always, you do a great job.
All right, Jim. Thank you. It's always too short.
See you next time. Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.